Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Corks and Crime, a podcast about our two favorite things, wine and crime. I'm Heather.
I'm Natalie.
And today we are enjoying a bottle of Stave and Still Cabernet Sauvignon. And we have to give credit to our coworker, Jen, who said this was the wine she was missing while being pregnant. And she just delivered.
Yay!
Congratulations, Jen. You rocked it. So, I mean, oh my gosh.
Oh, so good.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And this wine is really good.
Yeah, it's super good.
Yeah, good job, Jen, on the recommendation. It's really, really yummy.
Thank you for our first recommendation, right?
What?
Thank you for our first recommendation.
Yes.
She's our first one.
Absolutely.
Be like, you guys need to like listen to this
Get
or drink this.
This
on the podcast.
Absolutely. So right now, what are you listening to?
Same as always, The Office Ladies.
Yes. I'm getting caught up on Office Ladies. I'm not really listening to a series right now, so I'm enjoying getting caught up on the episodes, but apparently I'm behind, you told me.
Yeah, you're an episode behind
so
me.
So I'm listening to The Injury. This is when Michael Scott burns his foot on his George
when
Foreman girl.
Yeah, he cooks his foot. And I love, too, in that episode when he explains it, like,
yeah,
are you dumb? I like to wake up to the smell of bacon.
Right.
So I put bacon on my George Foreman. It's, oh, God, it's
He's
so
like,
funny.
At night, I put 6 pieces of bacon on my George Foreman grill, and then it turns on in the morning, like, what's the big deal? I like to wake up to the smell. I don't have a butler to cook me breakfast.
Like everybody else in the office has a butler.
Right, right. Oh, my God, it's so funny. I'm not finished. I listened to it on the way over, but it's awesome.
Oh, my God, it's so funny. So I am on The Secret, which is
the next one.
Yeah, the next one. And so in The Secret, they tell you at the very beginning that Steve Carell as Michael Scott was nominated for a Golden Globe when they were filming The Secret.
Aww.
And then he was actually like awarded the Golden Globe when The Secret aired.
He just, the way that, I already knew that, like, Steve Carell was a great guy, but the way that the Office Ladies have portrayed him, I mean, everybody loves him so much. He's such a good guy, and he's so funny.
Oh, my gosh,
and
he's
so
funny.
Good at what he does.
And the things that, you guys need to listen to the Office Ladies podcast, but the things that he decides to improvise are, like, oh, my God, so, so funny, and, like, and in the Booze Cruise episode,
yes.
there's a dance in it where he's like doing the worm and he's like slapping his legs. And it is so, so funny. And like,
yes.
Oh my God, he's so good. Like him as Steve Carell is the best. Jonathan and I last night were watching Better Call Saul.
Oh, nice.
And Bob Odenkirk is in it.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Odenkirk was actually second to play Michael Scott.
Wow.
Yeah. If it would not have been Steve Carell, it would have been Bob Odenkirk. And I told that to Jonathan, and he was like, oh, nobody can replace Steve. And I was like, I know, right?
I agree. No, I agree. Somebody talked about The Office at work the other day, and we just started going into, like, you know, different episodes and quoting it. It's just the best.
It's, oh my God, it's so funny and witty and smart and, like, I feel like not, okay, so I feel like the British Office was a little like beyond its years.
Yes.
You know, like it was a little beyond
its
time.
Kind of ahead of its time. Yeah.
And then, but The Office in America, like it just fell right into place.
Yes.
And like.
Unlike Arrested Development, I think it was too early for its time.
Which I'm
a huge Arrested Development fan.
Yeah, Arrested Development is very
Jason
good.
Jason Bateman, I love you. I love you. It's okay.
Did you know, speaking of Jason Bateman, that the Ozarks is coming out with their third season at the end of this month?
Yeah. Did you watch the preview?
I only watched half of it. Does it look good?
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. I kind of want to like watch, I hope they do a recap for season two.
I agree, but Netflix is terrible at that.
Yeah.
They don't do a recap. And so then I find myself, well, crap, I got to go back and watch because I don't remember what happened.
You know,
they do not do a recap.
Yeah. Who else is bad about that is Hulu, because I'm a huge Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, okay.
And they don't do a great recap of Handmaid's Tale. So I have to, like, go and pick and figure out what I'm going to... Like, they don't do the justice
right.
of the season.
Not cool.
So, yeah, now I have to, like, go and figure out... Because I, like, half remember... I love the Ozarks, but it's been a year. I've watched
right.
a lot of really
it's
great television between now and then.
I agree. Also, one thing to mention about the latest, or the one I was listening to with the injury, it was written by Mindy Kaling.
She's so funny.
I've decided we needed to be fast friends. Like, she's so awesome.
I told you this before the episode started, but if you guys have not watched Late Night,
which I need to watch, apparently.
Mindy Kaling stars in it and also is a writer, but it's like, so it's about like a late night co-host, and Mindy Kaling like gets a job as a writer with like a bunch of guys, and she's the only girl writer. It's so funny and witty and also very like touching and lighthearted. It's such a great movie. Like, I left it like laughing and crying, and I love leaving movies like that.
I need to watch it. It's really so love her. Good. I saw her at SCAD a few years ago when she did like a live performance about like the Mindy Project.
Oh,
so it was
yeah.
her and the guests of the Mindy Project. But just everything I learned about her, she's amazing.
She's amazing.
I'm very curious as to who her baby daddy is, though.
Oh, I don't know.
She does not reveal pictures of her child or the baby daddy. Oh. And that's just me being obnoxious and wanting to know. It doesn't matter.
Because we love you, Mindy.
I'm just curious. Yeah. You know? I mean, no, she's hilarious. And knowing she wrote that episode, I'm like, stop it.
She yeah. is so...
Did you read her book?
She's so funny. No, I didn't.
I think she might have two now. Gosh, I can't remember the name of her first one, but it's so good.
So the thing that, like, I've grown a lot more appreciation for Mindy because... So I watched Late Night and I loved it. And I've always been like a big long fan of The Office, but like when I wasn't listening to Office Ladies, honestly, like I am not in showbiz at all. Like, we've never attempted to be like actors or
right,
anything.
We're
like
working at the hospital.
Yeah, we're just regular normal people like who have always like wanted to be nurses, whatever. So I don't pay attention to credits.
Right.
I don't pay attention to who's producing. I don't pay attention to directors.
I'm glad you said this because I feel like we should.
So because of that, I never noticed, being a regular person, that Mindy Kaling was a writer, producer, director, any of that.
Right.
So now that I'm listening to Office Ladies and they're saying like, yeah, Mindy's this huge writer, like part of our, like, and she also went on to direct many episodes.
Right.
And like, it's, I've had such an appreciation for her.
Yeah.
Because
she's kind of
that.
A big deal.
Yeah, she's kind of a badass.
Oh, so her first book was Why Not Me, which I read, mm-hmm. which is really good. And then she did Is Everyone Hanging Out Without Me? And I read that as well. Like, they're really good. Yeah. She's great. I mean, plus she's like stupid smart. I mean, she's so smart and crazy.
Well, Angela and Jenna get into that
because like, we can't talk to her.
Right. They were talking about how her and BJ Novak, like, I guess, dated at one point, and they always had like these intellectual conversations.
Right.
And she was like, yeah, we can't keep up with them because they're so smart.
Right.
And I would be like, yeah, girl, me too. I feel like it would be us like in, I don't know, like in the freaking break room, like, I don't even know.
Yeah, if they walked in and started talking about, like, whatever it is, I don't know.
I'd be like, doesn't my hair look good today?
I'd be like, what do you think about this lip gloss, right? Okay.
So anyway, we love Mindy Kaling.
Yeah, check out Office Ladies because,
yes,
and somebody at work the other day was like, I feel like I need to rewatch the Office episodes. I was like, yes, you do. But you need to listen to Office Ladies then listen to then watch The Office.
Well, they say stuff that I, wasn't attuned to, like, they will also say, like, when they start to break,
yes,
and then I start to pay attention to it. Like, there's one episode where Mindy is in with Rainn Wilson, and he's like doing something that it was actually very funny, and I laughed out loud. And they were like, I know Mindy broke, and I never noticed it,
right.
But she like turns her face away from the camera like really quick, and so I was like more attuned to it,
right.
But gosh, it just makes me very nostalgic and,
we need another show like this.
Yeah.
We don't have one right now.
But the thing about The Office too, is it's so quick.
Yes.
Like 20 minutes and you're done. It's, mm-hmm. it's very much my like lighthearted, silly, funny show.
Absolutely.
That I also like have like a really emotional connection to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. It makes me happy.
It makes me really happy.
And it's something that Jeff and I can connect with as well. Like, same. I can put it on the Comedy Central, like, marathon, and we can both enjoy it.
Right. Because, Donna, I used to really like Friends.
I still do.
No, I love Jeff Friends. Jeff
makes fun of me for watching it.
No, I love Friends, and, like, I have the full, like, series, yeah, like, on DVD. But Jonathan is like, he's not a huge Friends fan, so, like, if it's on, he's like, I don't really feel like watching this. But The Office, he'll be like, yes, oh, yeah, The Office is cute. It's,
yeah, just like, I don't understand why you like to watch 20-year-old shows, because I watched that and Sex and the City, because there was a huge marathon.
Sex and the City never gets old, and I don't care who you
are. Agreed.
I'm do not care who it. You are. Sex and the City never gets old.
I agree. The second movie, not as great
no,
as the first.
God, no.
However, you cannot watch that and, like, connect to it as a woman. You cannot.
No, all the time. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
They were having a marathon again this weekend. I have it on.
On E.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Always. Yeah. And then Office on Comedy Central. I can't help it. I can't get rid of cable. I can't help it. I can't do it.
I can't either.
Okay. So today we're going to talk about some good stuff. But it's crimes that were actually solved, but in kind of unique ways. And Natalie's going to start us off.
Yes, I am. So what is the what's the article that we're reading?
Oh, yes. That's a good idea. It's from Insider. So insider.com crimes. And they do a really good job. And we'll just give them credit. Once again, like, if I were to rewrite it, it's not going to be as good as them. So I'll just give you props.
Yeah. So it's five real crimes that were solved in unbelievable ways. So the first story, for most people, high school friends offer camaraderie, study partners, and people to sit with at the lunch table. But for one young woman, a chance high school friendship unearthed the truth about her abduction as a baby.
Bum, bum, bum.
Zephanie Nurse was born in the Groote Schuur Hospital in Cape Town, South America on April 28th, 1977.
South Africa. It's okay.
Oh, did I? What did I say?
You said America. It's
oh,
okay.
God.
It's okay.
South Africa. But I think it's because I got so excited. April 28th is Jonathan's birthday.
Aw.
Yeah.
That's cute.
That's why I overlooked the A for Africa. And 2 days later, a woman disguised in a nurse's uniform took the infant and escaped with her, possibly through a tunnel from the maternity unit into a nearby road, according to the February 2010 report news in IOL.
Also, do we need to have a secret tunnel from the maternity ward?
Right. Who is traveling up that
tunnel?
That
seems like a bad idea.
And
oh, if I want to steal a baby, this hospital has a tunnel.
Right.
Weird.
That's scary. And I feel like we could do a special podcast just on how many kids are taken or, like, potentially abducted.
For sure. Which is terrifying.
Yeah, so scary. So Zephanie's biological parents, Morn and Celeste, spent years trying to raise awareness about their kidnapped daughter in the media to no avail. Even after their family kept growing with the arrival of their second daughter, Cassidy, they kept a yearly remembrance of Zephanie every April 28th. Years later, Cassidy began attending a new school and became friendly with a girl 4 years her senior. Even fellow classmates noticed their strong resemblance. When Morn and Celeste Nurse learned about the striking similarity, they decided to investigate. DNA evidence soon concluded that the girl, who had grown up with a different family under a different name, was in fact the missing Zephanie, according to a 2015 report.
Can you imagine that? Being like, oh my God, you're like my best friend. Oh wait, we're sisters.
Yeah, that is insane.
That is insane.
And even how they went to go to the same school.
Right.
Like, if
somebody, are you going to steal a kid and stay in the same town?
Yeah,
apparently they did.
Yeah, that's weird.
They were not very smart.
Well, and I don't know if I don't know if in the time in South Africa, if they couldn't get the true person who stole her, like, couldn't get her out. I don't know true all of those details.
Easy for me to say.
But, like, for when we reported on the girl that was stolen from Florida, she right was easily transported to South Carolina because right there's no, like, border patrol here in the United States. Right. In South Africa, I don't know if that's
yeah,
the same.
That may be different.
But even from town to town, like, go to a different town.
Right.
You know?
Maybe go next door.
Right. Right. Go from, I don't know, like, the equivalent of Atlanta to freaking Athens.
Go to Woodstock.
Right. The woman who raised Zephanie for most of her life was sentenced to 10 years in prison for the harm she caused the Nurse family, according to the Telegraph. As the report further stated, the sentenced woman's husband had no idea Zephanie was not his biological child, so she pretended to be pregnant.
Yeah, and that's a whole other issue.
Yeah, that's a whole other, yeah. For her part, Zephanie said she can't dismiss the only people she knew as parents for almost 2 decades.
I get that. It's really sad, I get it.
There isn't a quick fix. I mostly live from day to day. My mother, who raised me, will always be a part of my life, said Zephanie Nurse in a 2018 news report. Mm. I get that. I mean,
we talked about that when stolen by my mother.
Yeah.
I mean, she has the connection to the person that raised her.
Right.
Yeah, she might have stolen her, but she raised her.
Right.
It's a lot.
Mm. I feel that she's the one I feel most bad for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gosh, what a nightmare.
So here we go with something interesting. Fans of crime shows know that almost anything can provide evidence, including bugs, stray hair, and even fabric fibers. In one 2002 case, however, a murder was solved by the humble nettle, of all things. Nettle is a plant or herb. I didn't know. I had to look it up.
I didn't know either, but
yeah.
Is it spiky? Because later on... I think
it's spiky and terrible.
Yeah. Later on, they say something about it like being stuck to something. Right. So I'd assume it's spiky.
Yeah, it's spiky. So when the bodies of 10-year-old schoolgirls Holly Wells and Jessica Chapman were discovered in a ditch in Suffolk, England, the horrific crime baffled the local community. Forensic botanist Patricia Wiltshire... Also, I wanted to talk about... I didn't know there were forensic botanists.
What a job.
But it makes sense.
Yeah.
But still, like, hello, Heather, your forensic botanist.
I feel like I did know that because of Forensic Files. True. I feel like they have had forensic botanists on.
I would be so bad at that job.
Yeah.
I'd be good at a lot of other forensic things. Botany, not my jam.
I honestly, as much as true crime interests me, I don't think I have the attention to detail. Because some of the things they find, like pieces of fabric right. or like...
Yeah, we're going to get into a lot of stories. Lost on me. I know. I mean, forensic botanist. So she was brought in to investigate the scene. She discovered some stinging nettles in a path to the ditch were growing new side shoots, which only happens when a plant has been trampled underfoot. Not foot. Sorry.
Heather just quickly went to England.
It's late. Using this knowledge... Wiltshire determined that the nettles had been walked on some 13 days before, which gave the investigation a timeline for the murder, as noted by the New Guardian. Furthermore, pollen in her soil sample evidence helped convict Ian Huntley for the crime. It was the fiber evidence and my evidence from the soil analysis on his car and other belongings, I suppose, that helped put him away. This case proves that even the smallest silent witness can provide crucial information towards solving a crime, right? So she noticed these like trampled plants and knew, okay, they're going to stay that way for however long when somebody steps on it. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's really crazy. You know what that kind of reminds me of is the case against Adnan Syed. Did you ever watch that on HBO?
I haven't watched all of it. I need to.
About all the grass and...
Yes.
Honestly, like, it seemed very interesting, and then the grass ended up, like, being nothing, and I was right. like, why have we been focusing on this for so long?
When it's nothing.
Right. But the science behind the grass, I was like, damn.
There's apparently a forensic botanist. We have something here. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, next story. The introduction of the cold case homicide playing cards into Florida jails in 2007 resulted in the resolution of murder cases that had gone cold. The playing cards, which featured photos and information about murder victims within the state, kept the cases public and in the focus of inmates. Gretel Plessinger, a spokesperson for the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, said the Flyer Group, "We have two murder investigations that have been solved as a result of tips we received from Florida inmates. It's kind of like interviewing 93,000 inmates for new leads, and it has worked wonders."
That's a lot.
93,000? Holy cow, Florida.
Right. What the Florida, right?
Florida. In the cases of Thomas Wayne Grammer's murder, the cards proved invaluable. In the cards pack, the three of spades provided a photo of Grammer as well as the details of his 2004 murder, in which an unknown gunman entered his home, shot Grammer, and fled the scene. An inmate at the Polk County Jail in Florida recognized Grammer's photo on the card and tipped off police for some possible suspects. According to the National Clearinghouse for Science, Technology, and Law, based on this tip, two men were indicted for the murder in 2004, as further explained by the NCSTL. Since the introduction of the cards in Florida, several other states have offered cold case cards to their inmates, including Oklahoma in 2017, according to the U.S. News and World Reports. And yes, you can find the packs of the cold case cards for sale on eBay.
I wonder if there's any in Georgia, because we're going to need them.
I mean, yeah.
Then we can play Georgia some cards. Georgia is
close enough to... Oh, yeah, we can play some cards live.
I'm not that good, but I can play.
I can shuffle some cards.
So the next story I'm going to talk about is cat hair, which I can relate to.
Because Heather has two very hairy kitties.
I inherited. I inherited two cats. Okay, here we go. Oh, look, cute. Not the cat in question. Is the
that is headline. Really actually cute.
Yeah. Cat hair finds its way onto any surface and it does not let go. That's for sure. Holy crap. Mm-hmm. It is like everywhere. I was like getting stuff out of the dryer the other day and I'm like, are you kidding me?
As well as dog hair, because every time, so my brother has two golden retrievers. Mm. Every time I go over there, I get a complimentary.
Oh yeah. And they come home with a
What's the sticky roller?
Oh.
Oh. My brother is always like rolling down my pants and he's like, very sorry about that. All of our guests get this
complimentary. Yeah. So seriously, it seems to defy the law of physics. And in one case in Britain, clingy cat hair even led to someone being convicted of manslaughter. When the body of a man was discovered on the South Sea beach in Hampshire in July 2012, a few stray hairs from the convicted murderer's cat were found at the scene. Cat hair. Yeah, you're not getting rid of those. Unless you're going to be naked, like committing a crime. If you have a cat, your cat hair is going to leave DNA. As it turns out, the DNA evidence from the hairs of the cat named Tinker played a major role in the investigation.
Tinker, thank you very much. Tinker the
kitty cat, right? It looks like Tinker's help in the case even set a precedent for the future. Quote, this is the first time cat DNA has been used in a criminal trial in the UK. We now hope to publish the database so it can be used in future crime investigations.
Tinker, you're so good.
Also, your owner is terrible, right?
Yeah. Poor Tinker. I hope he got adopted.
I know. I'm sure he did.
He probably did. Tinker. Yeah, definitely.
Tinker the cat that solved crimes.
Yes.
He needed to bring him to the U.S. He'll have a whole thing.
Actually, he can live in Brookhaven, Georgia with Heather.
No more cats with him. He might have an Instagram.
But Edie would have a very big problem with that.
Edie the dog, not happy.
Edie the dog would not be happy. Not happy at all.
Okay.
All right, last one. A manslaughter case solved by NASA technology.
NASA? I mean, that's a big deal. Kind of a big deal.
Sometimes crimes are solved with the help of mind-boggling advanced technology used by NASA scientists. Who knew the next generation of crime sleuths might come from this government agency? First, though it's crucial to lay out the facts of this particular crime, in 1991, Dawn Shantz went from her motel in Los Altos, California, where she went
missing. It's okay.
Oh, she went missing. I'm sorry. That's actually a very important piece of information that she went missing. She didn't just go from there.
She just left.
She went missing where she was last seen riding away with her boyfriend, Bernardo Bass, in 1979 Pontiac Grand Prix, according to the Charlie Project.
Can we talk about a Grand Prix for a minute?
Tell me all about it.
Do you know what those look like?
No, I know what an Oldsmobile looks like because my grandma had one.
So I'm pretty sure my sister-in-law had the Grand Prix.
Was it like a coupe? Like hers, Grand Prix's were kind of like
I don't remember if it was a sporty. Two-door or four-door. We would call it the Grand Prix because it's PRIX.
It is PRIX.
And her headliner would like slump, like fall down.
Were you impressed that I knew it was a pre, not a pricks?
I was waiting. I was like, what's Natalie going to say if she's a pricks? I'm going to fucking love it. Sorry. Sorry for the F-bomb. Sorry. No, I was like waiting for it. I was hoping you were going to say pricks.
I knew it was a Grand Prix. I did know that at least.
So no, her headliner hung down and her mom would have to fix it. Judy, I love you, Judy. She'd have to fix it and like tack it up in the Grand Prix.
On the Grand Prix.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry funny. I said the F-bomb. Sorry.
Oh, I don't care. Just letting all it loose. All F-bombs are welcome here.
Just letting it loose. Go ahead.
So although he was presumed murdered, no body, weapon, or even a sign of the distinct car could be found, and the charges were dropped. But years later, a tip came in that some evidence about her murder was buried in a vacant lot in Alviso, according to the Mercury News. However, excavating the entire area would have proven...
What? Prohibitively.
It would have been proven very expensive. Very expensive. Determined to find a workaround, the district attorney called for surveying help from the United States Geological Survey, who connected the investigators with NASA's Payload Directed Flight Research Group, according to NASA.gov. This particular group developed the technologies to help Earth science missions gather data through the magnetic and ground-penetrating radar sensors, which also, pause, they used that in Kristen Smart's case.
Yes, they did. Yep.
Yes. That was, go listen to, what's it called? Shoot. In your own backyard.
Yes.
Your own backyard.
Your own backyard.
Yes. Yeah. Go listen. Very good. They use that. Anyway, scientists and engineers took part in the project, mapping out the area's magnetic environment and marking signs of potential interest, as further explained by NASA.gov. Thanks to the NASA's team help, car parts that match Bass's vehicle were unearthed in the Alvaso lot, providing evidence that helped convict him of manslaughter.
That's amazing.
Yeah, go NASA.
NASA for the win, right?
Yeah. NASA's always for the win.
Absolutely. I mean, they're always badasses, right?
Yeah, always.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Where can they find us on social media?
Quirks and Crime Podcast on Instagram. Also, Quirks and Crime Podcast on Facebook. And then shoot us an email at quirksandcrimepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know where you're listening from and what you're drinking.
Yes, we need wine recommendations. And I can see where you're listening from our host. So who are you that are like in other countries?
Yeah, slide into our DMs. Right. Send us
slip
an email.
Into the DMs,
let
right?
us know. Let us know. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.